You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Shannon Hiller, Chief Marketing Officer for the Clark County Credit Union. The credit union has their annual Happy Bonus Days promotion coming up, which benefits local charities as well as a few lucky members who shop during the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Shannon, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who aren't familiar, what is the Clark County Credit Union?
So Clark County Credit Union, we've been around since 1951, and we represent a lot of our local businesses like Clark County employees, any of the municipal employees. We also represent the medical community, as well as really anyone can join. But those were our historic member groups, and we're just really known for low rates. We offer a lot of nice perks and benefits to our members, and one of them we're talking about today is our Happy Bonus Days.
Yeah, so tell us about the Happy Bonus Days coming up very shortly.
Yeah, so we actually started it in 2020, and we just thought, you know, the pandemic is here, and we wanted to do something fun for our members and give a little joy back to them during what was a really difficult time. And so we started Happy Bonus Days to encourage people to use our credit card for their holiday purchases, because we would choose three random lucky members to pay off up to $1,500 on their Clark County Credit Union credit card. And so that was just, you know, each transaction equals one entry to win. And then you would maybe just buy one thing, you know, at your regular shopping, and it could be as easy as a pack of gum. But your amount on your credit card could be paid off up to $1,500. And then we added to that as well by supporting three local nonprofits, also with a $1,500 donation to support their cause. And we're really active in the community, so that was important to us to not only give back to our members, but to give back to these nonprofits as well.
Okay, so you started it in 2020 to bring a little joy into the world during the pandemic, but you've obviously kept it going for the past 4 years. So is it successful, popular?
It is popular. We also, our employees love it. They said those were the best calls they've ever gotten to make to our members to let them know that they got that $1,500. So they were like, please let's do this every year. It's just so fun. And also, of course, we love an excuse to find other nonprofits to give back to. So yeah, it's really a win-win. We want to encourage and educate our members on credit cards and building credit using a card, you know, obviously spending responsibly, and then also finding ways to help groups, especially those that help youth or those that might be in a medical situation that need assistance.
Okay. So basically the way it works is during Thanksgiving holiday weekend, any transaction that a member makes with their Clark County Credit Union credit card goes towards one entry, and then three random winners will be chosen to have their entire credit card balance paid off?
Yes, up to $1,500 on the card. So we've had in the past people that spent, you know, $76 at Home Depot, or they purchased something on Amazon, just one gift at a time. So if I were doing this, I would probably make multiple transactions during that time just to increase my odds to enter to win. But yeah, that's all you have to do, is just, you're going to make those purchases anyway, use your Clark County Credit Union Visa card, and every swipe, every time you use that card online, that equals one entry.
Okay. And the days that this is active are what?
So this is going to run from Thanksgiving Day, because as we know, all the shops open up earlier and earlier every year. So Thanksgiving, as well as, of course, online, and then through Cyber Monday. So anything that you purchase during that time will be qualified and entered to win for the $1,500.
Nice. So the beginning of Thanksgiving Thursday, so basically 12:01, and all the way through to the end of, so midnight on Cyber Monday. Nice. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that some charities are also receiving donations. Which charities did you choose this year?
So this year we're focusing on Candle Lighters, which is a group that helps children with cancer and their families and supports them through that. We have the Las Vegas Rescue Mission, and then we also have Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, both groups helping those that are in need and maybe need some assistance during a really tough time. So they're each getting $1,500 to support their cause in the community. And we actually worked with the radio station as well as our employees to determine which of those groups that we would support this year.
Okay, nice. So each year the employees get to have their vote on which charities they think are worthy of receiving donations that year?
Yeah, we work with groups all year, but we think it's important to let them choose which one we support for this one. So a lot of times, we'll have them vote on ones that we've worked with before, but we also throw in different ones. We haven't done Las Vegas Rescue Mission before, and so that's the new one here that we're supporting, and letting everyone vote and have their voice heard is important to us at the credit union. So we want to make sure that we're kind of staying in touch with what our group wants to support.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, now for those who shop using their Clark County Credit Union credit card but don't win, what advice do you have for smart holiday budgeting? We all know credit cards can get out of control if you don't manage it properly. So, what's your advice?
Yeah, definitely going with a plan, and I'm taking my own advice this year, keeping a budget on those holiday expenses, and even including things like gift wrap, cards, family photos. If you do a holiday card, the postage, it seems to go up every single year. So making sure that you put that into your budget as well. And then also see what you already have. That's what I like to do every year is I go through and say, okay, I really don't need more decorations, or I don't need more gift wrap. What do I have from last year? And making sure that I get a visual on what I've kind of tucked away from the previous season and make sure that I can save money there by not doubling up on my purchases. I can't tell you how many times I've found something that I had hidden from myself and then found later that I didn't need to buy again, and make sure that I'm very aware of what I already have. But I think just also making sure that you don't procrastinate, because then if it's last minute, you might not get the best deals. I think that so many companies are doing. I got an ad the other day just for Black Friday already, like early November. And these are retailers just trying to get our business. So make sure that you do your research there. I know for me, I sign up for the emails to make sure I get a coupon or a discount deal, the text messages, things like that. But then I do try to opt out later if that is kind of a trigger for me to do impulse buys. Don't be afraid to unsubscribe. Don't be afraid to get off of that text message. Use it for the discount that you need now, and then know yourself. If that's going to be tempting for you later on, then I would definitely suggest to unsubscribe.
Yeah, awesome. Some good advice. Okay, so where can listeners go if they want to learn more or become a member of the Clark County Credit Union if they're not already, and then to take part in the Happy Bonus Days?
So go to our website. It's ccculv.org. And if you're not a member, you still have time to get a credit card to make sure you can participate in Happy Bonus Days. And you can join online or come into a branch. You will have someone there that can help you, but usually online is the easiest way to just get you started. And then someone from the credit union will call you and help you complete that application. And the other thing I want to mention really quick is we also are offering during Happy Bonus Days another extra, which is if you shop on Amazon during those days, you will get double points. We have a rewards program and you earn points for every dollar that you spend. But during that time, if you're purchasing with Amazon, you get double points that day. So just another little added incentive. I know Amazon probably has me on some list of people that shop a lot with them, and the delivery guys are like, it's us again. But yeah, Amazon, it's just so convenient, and we have so many actually warehouse locations here in Las Vegas that makes delivery so fast. And so we just thought that was a popular one that people would really like, and we're offering that for the first time this year as an added benefit.
Nice. Okay. And you mentioned branches. How many branches do you have?
We have six branches, and then of course our e-branch, the phone in your pocket. You can do business with us anywhere, but six branches all over the valley, from Henderson to North Las Vegas, centrally located as well. So usually there's one within a good 10 or 15-minute drive from wherever you are in the valley.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, the website is ccculv.org. That stands for Clark County Credit Union, Las Vegas. ccculv.org. You can sign up to become a member of the Clark County Credit Union online. You have time to apply for one of their credit cards. That will allow you to take part in the Happy Bonus Days, where if you shop from Thanksgiving Thursday through to Cyber Monday. Every transaction that you make is another entry into the raffle. Three lucky winners will have their credit card bills paid off up to $1,500. And at the same time, three charities are receiving $1,500 donations from the Clark County Credit Union, Candlelighters, Las Vegas Rescue Mission, and NPHY. So they're each getting that donation as well. And don't forget, as Shannon mentioned, if you shop on Amazon during the Happy Bonus Days with your Clark County Credit Union credit card, you will get double points on your credit card as well. So once again, the website ccculv.org stands for Clark County Credit Union Las Vegas, ccculv.org. And Shannon, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know about the Happy Bonus Days. Fourth year, it seems like it is bringing some happiness to the Valley. So I really appreciate you sharing with us what you're doing, how you're giving back to charities in the community, and how you're making the holidays extra happy for a few of your members. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bob Maxwell, CEO of Voice of the Veteran. In the last year, we have helped secure nearly $4 million in aid and lifetime benefits for veterans. If you're a veteran, call us today at 702-381-2566.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Marty Elquist, Supporting Early Education and Development Department Director for the Children's Cabinet. The organization has partnered with the Nevada Division of Health and Human Services to develop NevadaChildCareFund.org, which contains a variety of resources for childcare providers, parents, and employers. Marty, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly does the Children's Cabinet do?
The Children's Cabinet is a 501c3 nonprofit agency. Our mission is to fill gaps in services for families with children. We serve families with young children prenatally all the way to age 24. We have services statewide. Primarily, our statewide programs are those that focus around early childhood, so primarily prenatal to about third grade.
Okay. Now, where did the idea for NevadaChildCareFund.org come from?
Well, NevadaChildCareFund.org is meant to be a one-stop shop for where families can get information on childcare specifically, and childcare providers can go to get information on supports that might be available to them, resources to improve quality of care, where community partners can go to get information about what's available currently for families and childcare providers, and a place where we can have a search portal so anyone can search for childcare.
So basically, if a parent goes and searches for childcare near them, it's going to bring up a listing of various childcare providers?
Yes, absolutely. And they can put in different hours of the day they need care. They can search for multiple locations. So they can put in an address near their, they could put in their home, or they could put an address of their workplace, and it can simultaneously do searches for both locations.
Okay. And what kind of resources do you offer for employers?
So the Children's Cabinet has an employer support program where we can work with a business to do an assessment about their current workforce and what their family needs might be, the workforce's family needs. Do they have young children? Do they need childcare? Do they have more elderly parents living in the home? What type of flexible, family-friendly business practices might an employer consider to retain or to attract potential employees to their business? So we will do that assessment. We will generate a report for them, and we'll provide them that report with some recommendations based on the composition of their workforce. And if specifically addressing childcare is something the business would like to focus on, we can help walk them through the possibilities of how they can support their workforce around childcare needs. It can be something as helping them set up a slots program where they can find maybe licensed childcare around the business and help secure slots in those childcare businesses for their employees, all the way to, is an on-site childcare a solution that might work for that business? And if so, what are the steps that business can take to pursue that option?
Okay. Now, at the NevadaChildCareFund.org website, it mentions new funding for childcare in Nevada and more families are now eligible. What kind of eligibility criteria are there?
The eligibility criteria, it's a federal eligibility criteria. So for the childcare subsidy program, the federal requirement is that families need to be working, in job training, or going to school to qualify. We call that purpose of care. In addition to purpose of care, families need to make 85% of state median income or less. Before the Nevada Child Care Fund was established, Nevada only had the capacity to really serve up to about 140% of poverty, and the equation to state median income, it varies by family size. So, but we were nowhere near being able to serve all the way up to 85% of state median income. But now we can do that.
So there's federal criteria if parents are looking for funding, but if they're just looking for childcare services, they can just use the search tools and the other resources on the site.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they need a provider who accepts families who qualify for the subsidy program, that's one of the search options they can put into the search portal, and it'll pull up those providers that participate on that program.
Okay. What is the current state of childcare in our community?
Nevada's never had the licensed capacity to care for as many children that need care. So the demand for care, we say, is children underneath the age of 12 living in households where all available parents are in the workforce. So that could be a dual earner family where two parents are both in the workforce, or it can be a single earner, single head of household family. So a single mom, single dad with young children. So historically, even before COVID, Nevada only at best had the licensed capacity to meet about 35% of the demand for care. And through COVID, at the beginning of COVID, we definitely slipped. We all know providers shutting their doors and having to close. And even if they still remained open business-wide, they weren't able to accept children because they were temporarily closed or couldn't fill their classrooms to capacity because they didn't have the teachers in the classroom to care for children. So where we are now is we're coming out the back end of that. We still hear that many providers are searching for staff to come back and work in their programs, but we're definitely making improvements there. And the stabilization stipends that we are able to fund for childcare providers through the pandemic really helped Nevada sustain the child care capacity in our state. And we've actually seen a little bit of a growth coming out of the pandemic in the number of providers that we have in the state and our licensed child care capacity. And so that's really good news. In particular, we have seen a growth over the last 2 years in our licensed family child care. So there has been a very concerted effort from the Division of Welfare and Supportive Services in funding programs that really look at starting up licensed family child care and then supporting licensed family child care through the licensing process and then providing them technical assistance thereafter so they can help build a solid business.
Okay, so we're starting to see more child care providers in Nevada, but there's still more demand than supply?
Absolutely. We're still only at best about 35%.
Okay, so since there's a high demand and a low supply, does that mean that the cost is higher than in other states as well?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question. So I think it's important to note that there's a price. That's what parents have to pay, right? That's what providers charge and what parents can afford to pay. But that is not the cost of what it really takes a provider to provide care. So everybody's a little bit taken aback when we say, you know, that the average cost of infant care in the state of Nevada in a center is over $11,000 a year. That takes everybody back. It's more than UNR and UNLV. It's more than, you know, what the annual tuition and books for our state institutions of higher education. However, what it really costs a provider to offer that infant slot at a high quality level with ample materials, with ratios that are at the accredited level of the National Association for the Education of Young Children, and that would be one adult for every four infants. If you look at high quality care, the materials, the environment, the adults, the training, it is well over $25,000 a year for that slot.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the providers can't turn around and charge parents what it really costs to provide that care. And so that's where you see then that many businesses are put in a position where then, well, something has to subsidize that cost, right? And historically, that has been what individual child care professionals make in those programs, as well as what that business can earn. And so then we see businesses that don't have a lot of profit margin or a buffer, if you will, and it puts them in a very vulnerable position if they have to incur an expense like their HVAC unit goes out. I mean, how often does that happen in Las Vegas, right? Or they need a new shade structure, or, you know, their playground equipment needs to be replaced because of, you know, the sun damage and it's no longer safe. We see those things happen all the time. And those expenses are sometimes too much for providers to cover. And a lot of times, if you have an emergency expense, it's the expense that breaks the business's back and they can't absorb it.
Okay. So obviously, not only are parents in our community facing childcare challenges, but also childcare service providers are facing challenges. So what sorts of resources are available for the childcare providers through NevadaChildCareFund.org?
Well, we're really happy that we have one more year of ARP discretionary dollars, so America Rescue Plan. And we've had these dollars last year as well. And so there are still funds available to help providers with emergency grants. So if a provider is in a situation where they have something that could be a licensing violation, we work with the licensing entity to say, okay, what is the violation? Can you confirm that, yes, this provider indeed has this violation? And then we work with the provider to correct that. And if it's something that's not equipment or materials that, you know, can be purchased, if it's something like a fence blew down and they need to have that replaced, then we follow a procurement policy where we get three bids and then we help the provider cover that cost so they can keep their doors open.
Okay, awesome. So obviously childcare is a necessity, but why is quality early learning and development so important to children?
Early childhood, specifically the ages birth to five, is the most critical developmental period in our lives. It is the period where 90% of our brains grow. It is where all of the interactions that we have with those around us are actually forming the connections in our brains. And this learning sets the foundation for all future learning. And that's good opportunities, good experiences, bad experiences for those children. That's what sets the foundation. We have to invest in our youngest citizens because not only will it help them prepare them for school, be successful in school, it prepares them to be successful in life. It's an economic investment. It is an investment in human capital to the tune of $13 for every $1 invested. And that work is James Heckman, who was a Nobel Prize winning researcher, has done a lot of research in that area.
Okay. So we've been talking about NevadaChildCareFund.org, where you've got information and resources for parents, for childcare providers, for employers. Now, what if someone wants to find out more about what Children's Cabinet offers as well?
Well, anybody can go to our website, and that web address is www.childrenscabinet.org. And again, we do services for children and families. Children primarily the ages prenatally all the way to age 24. So anybody can visit our website and give us a call.
Okay, nice. So NevadaChildCareFund.org is the website to go to if you want to see if you're eligible for funding for childcare, if you're looking for resources, whether you're a parent, whether you're a childcare provider or an employer. That's all there at NevadaChildCareFund.org, which is a partnership between Children's Cabinet and the Nevada Division of Health and Human Services, so NevadaChildCareFund.org. And if you want to find out more about the Children's Cabinet and the services that that organization offers, which is one of the partners, again, in NevadaChildCareFund.org, but the website for Children's Cabinet specifically is childrenscabinet.org. And Marty, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what's going on with childcare in our community and some of the resources and services that are available for parents and for childcare providers, and especially this new website, NevadaChildCareFund.org. So I really appreciate your time and the information you've shared with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather, for covering this topic. We really appreciate you. Take care.
Jobs for someone with autism. Programmer. Teacher.
Win. Ranching. By Autism Speaks. Florist. Helps businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
How about a healthcare worker?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Michael D. Smith, CEO of AmeriCorps. Their new initiative is Public Health AmeriCorps, a partnership with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. Michael, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what exactly is this Public Health AmeriCorps partnership all about?
Well, first, AmeriCorps is the federal agency for volunteering and service. For the past 30 years, we've been betting on people who want to do more to give back to their community. Today, we have about 200,000 AmeriCorps members and AmeriCorps senior volunteers that are serving in 40,000 locations across the country, including 100 in Nevada, actually 100 in Las Vegas. And so Public Health AmeriCorps is a new partnership, as you said, with the Centers for Disease Control, a $400 million partnership that's trying to do two things. One, move more individuals right now that can support urgent health care needs that were really exacerbated and exposed by the pandemic. But the other thing that we're trying to do is fill the shortage of 80,000 public health care workers that we're missing, to make sure that we have more individuals that go from Public Health AmeriCorps to careers in the public health industry. Individuals that are from low-income communities, that are from rural communities, that are from communities of color, who will continue to serve in those communities.
Okay, so how exactly does that work when you're addressing the shortage of health care workers? It's a training program that they can go through?
Yeah, this is a wonderful thing. One, this is one of the first times with CDC. You don't even need to have a college degree. You're going to learn while you serve, like AmeriCorps members have been doing for 30 years. In addition to the service that you learn while you're on the job, CDC and our partners are providing all sorts of additional training. Well, you'll get credentialing, you'll get certificates. So by the time that you finish your Public Health AmeriCorps experience, you will have a pathway to careers in the public health industry.
Okay. So in what ways does Public Health AmeriCorps break down the barriers that people might otherwise have to pursuing those careers in healthcare?
And the first thing that we're doing is we're meeting people where they are. So as I mentioned earlier, we're saying you don't need to have a college degree. You're not going to have to leave your hometown. There are part-time Public Health AmeriCorps slots. So if you maybe need to have another job while you do this, or you have child care needs, you can do it. Also, AmeriCorps members, including our Public Health AmeriCorps members, they receive a stipend to take care of all of their needs while they're serving. They get an education award. So after their AmeriCorps experience, they can pay for post-secondary education or pay off student loans. They get student loan forbearance. And we're creating a beautiful cohort so that they're working with individuals within their communities to go through this experience together. They're being inspired by the work that they're doing, and they're getting coached to continue to be excited about what's going to happen after their service.
Okay, and where would this service take place? Is it in local hospitals? Is it in private homes? How does it work?
Public Health AmeriCorps is really looking at public health needs in the broad spectrum. So you'll have some people that are working on youth mental health issues. You'll have some folks that are working on food and nutrition, some that are working on chronic illness, some doing vaccination work, many folks that are working on the opioid epidemic. I'll give you one example right in your own hometown. You've got the Association of State and Territorial Chronic Disease Program Directors, and they're going to be working to assist with increasing the number of organizations that are improving their work and addressing nutrition, access to safe physical activity opportunities, and also reducing social isolation and loneliness through all sorts of programmatic work, but also policy work as well.
Nice. Okay. Now, you mentioned that besides addressing the shortage of healthcare workers, you're also addressing urgent healthcare needs. In what ways are you doing that?
That is going to be the work that's happening right now. So, you know, in some cases, you might say, I want to go into the public health field, so I'm going to go to school and I'm going to take a year or 2 years or your doctor, 7, 8, 9 years, and then you'll come back or serve during your internship. We're putting you to service right now. You take the pledge to become a Public Health AmeriCorps member, and you're being deployed to your community right now to work in partnership with your neighbors to meet the needs that they have today.
Nice. No waiting. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how can listeners learn more about Public Health AmeriCorps or even sign up for the program and get involved?
We have already granted about $160 million to support 640 sites across the country, and there are 1,800 Public Health AmeriCorps members that are already enrolled. So if you want to become a Public Health AmeriCorps member in Nevada, or you want to go and serve in one of these sites, you can go to AmeriCorps.gov. We have a Fit Finder tool that's going to help you to find a service location where you are and an issue that you care about. But also, if you are a nonprofit organization or a public health organization, you can also go to AmeriCorps.gov to find out how you can get Public Health AmeriCorps members or how you can get access to grants from our agency to make sure that you can achieve your mission.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so AmeriCorps.gov is the website to go to. That's AmeriCorps.gov, AmeriCorps.gov. If you're an individual who's interested in the Public Health AmeriCorps program and you want to work in healthcare, this is the perfect opportunity. And if you're a nonprofit who wants partnership with AmeriCorps, you want access to their grants and you can have access to healthcare workers that are coming through the program and helping you out with the nonprofit, same place, AmeriCorps.gov. And Michael, I want to thank you so much for being here, letting us know more about this program and how it's helping the communities, how it's helping the country overall with the healthcare shortage. And it sounds like an amazing program, and I appreciate your time here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Kathleen Cameron, Senior Director of the National Council on Aging Center for Healthy Aging. Kathleen has more than 25 years of experience in the healthcare field as a pharmacist, researcher, and program director. Now, we might be back to pre-pandemic routines for the most part, but COVID remains a public health priority, especially among the older population. Kathleen, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So what exactly is the National Council on Aging?
The National Council on Aging is the national voice for every person's right to age well. We're a nonprofit, and we work with thousands of national and local partners in the field of aging. We're actually one of the oldest national organizations dedicated to improving the lives of older adults, improving their health and their financial security. And staying up to date on the COVID and flu vaccines is a really important part of staying healthy.
Yeah. So speaking of that, how risky is COVID now for older adults?
Yeah, great question. You know, as you said, COVID remains a public health priority. And that's especially true among older adults because older adults experience more serious disease, hospitalizations, and deaths. And in fact, in 2023, in this year, 90% of COVID deaths occurred among people over the age of 65. Most of those were individuals who were not up to date on the COVID-19 vaccines or had never been vaccinated. So our message is stay healthy and stay up to date on your COVID and flu vaccines during this respiratory season.
Okay, so what's the latest vaccine guidance for older adults, both for COVID and flu vaccines?
Yes. So the FDA has approved and the CDC authorized a new vaccine for COVID-19. And it's new because it is effective against the most widely circulating variants of the COVID virus, the XBB.1.5. And the guidance for this new COVID vaccine is one shot for everyone over the age of 5, of course, including those over the age of 65. So right now, it's one shot, and people over the age of 65 should be getting that shot now. In addition, the annual flu vaccine is now available, and that is to protect older adults and everyone from the flu virus, which changes slightly every year. But the current flu vaccine protects us against the flu strains currently circulating. And older adults can get both at the same time. It's a convenient way to get and stay up to date on the current vaccines.
Okay. And does it cost anything to get a COVID or flu vaccine?
No, the good news is that due to a law that was passed last year, older adults who are on Medicare have no out-of-pocket costs for their vaccines. If they're on Medicare Part D or B, the shots should be covered with no out-of-pocket costs. In some cases, it's important for people to check to see which providers are covered in their network. So my advice is for people to, you know, check the fine print on where they can go to get their vaccines based on the insurance plans that they might have, particularly if they're on Medicare Advantage or Medicare Part C. But no out-of-pocket costs for older adults. For people on Medicaid, the same situation. They are free all across the country with state Medicaid programs. And then for people who are uninsured, we have a bridge program that provides free COVID-19 vaccines to those who are uninsured or underinsured.
Nice. Okay. So where are some of the places where seniors could go in the Las Vegas area to get COVID or flu vaccines?
Yeah. At the National Council on Aging, we are funding organizations across the country to provide COVID and flu vaccines. And there are a few places that we funded in the Las Vegas area, including the Nevada Senior Services Incorporated, also the Nathan Adelson Hospice, and Immunize Nevada, which is located in Reno, but it does serve the Las Vegas area. So again, Nevada Senior Services, Nathan Adelson Hospice, and Immunize Nevada.
Okay, nice. And if people want to look at the various resources that are available and find a spot near to them, where can they go to learn more?
Yes, please visit the National Council on Aging's website at ncoa.org/vaccines.
Perfect. Okay. So the website to go to ncoa.org/vaccines. That stands for the National Council on Aging, ncoa.org/vaccines. And some of the places where you can get flu and COVID vaccines as a senior in the Las Vegas area include Nevada Senior Services, Nathan Adelson Hospice, and Immunize Nevada. And Kathleen, I want to thank you so much for being here today and letting us know the latest updates and some resources that seniors can use to stay healthy. This has been Kathleen Cameron, Senior Director of the National Council on Aging's Center for Healthy Aging. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Maria, and I ended up in the hospital with COVID for 130 days, 70 of which were spent on life support. At 41 years old, I was healthy and had a lifestyle filled with work, friends, and travel. Everyone 6 months and older should get their COVID and flu vaccines this season and keep all immunizations up to date.
To learn how to protect your family, visit vaccinateyourfamily.org/learn.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Ram Palanyappan, founder and CEO of EarnIn. Ram is a financial tech entrepreneur whose mission is to create products that empower people to live financially healthy lives. And EarnIn is a fintech company that's abolishing significant amounts of medical debts in partnership with RIP Medical Debt. Ram, thank you so much for being here today.
Happy to be on.
So I'm familiar with the EarnIn app, but for those who aren't, what exactly is it?
The EarnIn app is a way for people to access the money that they've already earned before payday. And so we believe that if somebody has worked today, they should have access to the money that they already earned. And we enable that through the EarnIn app.
Okay. And what's RIP Medical Debt?
RIP Medical Debt is a partner of ours. We're working with them to abolish medical debt.
Why did you decide to make that partnership happen?
So one of the things that we've seen is that medical debt is the number one reason for bankruptcies in the country. And what EarnIn has been doing through its product is actually helping people get to a better place financially. Our customers access their wages to pay their bills on time, to pay rent, to avoid overdraft fees. And this is consistent with that mission where we're trying to help people get to a better place financially. And so we're partnering with RIP Medical Debt to abolish medical debt.
Okay. And medical debt, that's like if someone goes to the hospital or they have a critical illness and the costs for treatment are astronomically high, that's where RIP Medical Debt comes into play?
That is correct. And so this helps individuals who have medical bills but have not been able to pay them off.
Okay. And you mentioned it's the number one reason for bankruptcy, but how common is medical debt for Americans and specifically in Las Vegas?
So it's actually very common. And for Clark County, we found that 17.6% of residents have medical debt. In fact, it's the fourth largest county in the U.S. with the most medical debt.
Wow. Okay. Now, beyond obviously the stress and the inability to pay, what are some of the larger financial impacts to Americans who suffer from medical debt?
So I think like medical debt is very closely connected with your mental health as well. Medical debt as well as other types of debt. I think the financial stress plays out in many ways. It's how you make decisions, what you're thinking about right through the day, how much you're concentrating on driving, how much you're concentrating on work, your mental health. I think all of these are very closely tied to your financial health.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how would someone find out that they are eligible to find medical debt relief through RIP Medical Debt?
So with the effort that we've just announced in Clark County, letters will be going out to all of those whose medical debt has been wiped out. And so people should look out in the mail for letters stating that.
Okay, wait, so you're like being a superhero and going and wiping out people's medical debt without them even having to do anything?
That's correct. They don't have to do anything. The debt is wiped off and then we'll send them a letter so that they know that it's been wiped off. But even if they don't see the letter, it's been wiped off.
Wow, okay. How do you choose which people you're going to wipe out the medical debt for?
So we chose Clark County just because of the high amount of medical debt in the county. And then through our partners, RIP Medical Debt, they look for households where the debt burden is more than 5% of their annual income and looking for families that are below four times the federal poverty level. And so that way we're able to make sure that the dollars go to where it's going to be most effective.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. So where could listeners go if they want to get more information either about EarnIn or about RIP Medical Debt?
So you can find out about EarnIn either at earnin.com, and you can find out about what we're doing on the medical debt side at earnin.com/medical debt. And RIP Medical Debt has their own website as well.
Okay, nice. So earnin.com, that's E-A-R-N earnin.com is the website to go to if you want to find out more about the EarnIn app, which, as Ram mentioned, allows you to access your earnings before you get your paycheck. So that's earnin.com. And if you want to find out more about what they're doing around medical debt, earnin.com/medical debt. earnin.com/medical debt. And you can find out more about RIP Medical Debt at ripmedicaldebt.org. And Ram, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know about this amazing initiative that you're undertaking. It's fantastic. And I'm glad that you've targeted Clark County as one of your places to operate in. And it sounds like amazing news all around. So thank you for everything that you're doing. And thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you, Heather.
We are the 25%. That's a quarter of all Americans, over 61 million people with a disability. And we want a world where everyone is 100% included, just like you. Easter Seals Disability Services. We are the 25.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Jeremy Walters, Sustainability Ambassador for Republic Services. November is National Recycling Month, and November 15th is America Recycles Day. But a quarter of Americans say they don't do a good job of recycling and aren't sure how or even if plastic is recycled. Well, the new Republic Services Polymer Center in Las Vegas is introducing a state-of-the-art plastic recycling process. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, what's the general confusion around plastic recycling?
Well, two things. One, either folks think that all plastics can go in the recycling bin, or the other half don't think that plastic is recycled at all.
So what plastic can go in the recycle bin?
So instead of focusing on numbers, people tend to look for that recycling symbol or what mirrors it and look for numbers. But we're looking for rigid plastic containers. So think bottles, jugs, tubs. Not the flexible plastics, grocery bags, bubble wrap, if you frequent online retailers and they're sending you those air-filled pillow packs, not those, just the rigid plastic containers.
Okay. Now, what's revolutionary about the new Polymer Center here in Las Vegas?
Well, Polymer Center is going to be very interesting. So currently, when you recycle a water bottle, it doesn't always become a water bottle again. Few and far between it does. In fact, it's often turned into carpeting, building material, or commonly synthetic fibers, which you may know as polyester, which is then used in clothing and backpacks and shoes. Recently was in a hotel where the shower curtain was actually made of recycled bottles. But what Polymer Center is doing is we're advancing circularity. We're trying to keep material in the circular economy for the long term. So when you recycle a water bottle, we'll be taking it to the recycling facility in Las Vegas over off Cheyenne, separating it from the other bottles, cardboard, paper, cans. And then we take that plastic over to Polymer Center where we then grind it up and wash it. We're separating the little different types of plastic because your bottle itself is different from the cap and the ring on top. And then we can send it to a company, maybe your favorite soda company, and they can turn it back into a bottle, a water bottle or a soda bottle again. So think about it. It's that circular economy, right? So you put the water bottle in the bin and it goes through the recycling process and becomes a bottle. Whereas, if it's turned into synthetic fibers, it's more of a linear process, right? The bottle becomes a piece of clothing and you wear that clothing. It becomes tattered and worn and no longer usable. Once you throw it in the trash, it's going to the landfill. That's its end of life.
Okay, so when we're turning a bottle back into a bottle, how many times can a bottle be turned back into a bottle?
Well, in theory, as long as it's going through that process and going through Polymer Center, it can be recycled indefinitely. It can go through the process over and over again.
Okay, so this is a much more sustainable method of recycling rather than making it into something else that could end up in landfill.
Absolutely. And, recycling and turning it into other products is still better than just using it once and throwing it away. But we really, again, it's that circular economy. You're closing the loop and we're keeping it going over time.
Why was Las Vegas chosen for this new Polymer Center?
Well, infrastructure is one. We have really great infrastructure. We have the largest and smartest residential recycling center in North America, right in our backyard. So a lot of material starting in Las Vegas. It is a regional facility, so some of our neighboring states where we collect recyclables, we'll be sending it there. But Republic Services, our facilities in Las Vegas are world-class. They're They're some of the largest in the country, and they employ some of the most state-of-the-art technology.
Nice. Okay. Now, you mentioned that the bottles will get washed when they go to the polymer center, but before that, how should we prepare plastics and other materials that we're putting in the recycle bin?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm really glad that you brought that up, because when you go to recycle at the curb, we do need to gently rinse the containers before we throw them in the bin. So think of like a ketchup bottle. You know, if you got a little bit of residual ketchup in there, just a little splash of water, swirl it around, and then tap it dry before you throw it in the bin. And the reason that we ask you to do that is if you left the residual ketchup in there and it spills on the paper and the cardboard, the paper and cardboard is now trash and we have to throw it away. And the washing process at the polymer center is different than what you're doing at home, because it's, for more of a simplistic sake, it's a chemical wash to make the plastic clean enough that it can be food grade material. And it's already separated from the other fragile recyclables. So definitely important to practice empty, clean, and dry at home before you throw your material in the recycling bin.
Okay. Now, we talked about rigid plastics, but what else can be recycled curbside?
Yes. So paper and cardboard, again, great for recycling, so long as they're clean and dry. Metal food and beverage containers, you know, the aluminum cans, soup cans, glass bottles and jars are also something that we accept. These are all fantastic materials that can find second life if we throw them in the recycling bin. But that's the key, throwing them in the recycling bin. Only about 30% of water bottles currently even make it in the bin to begin with. So we got to make sure that we're recycling 100% of them.
Okay, now what about aluminum or plastic takeout containers or aluminum foil, things like that?
Generally, those are going to be too soiled to be recycled. Aluminum foil is a great example. You usually use it to wrap up leftovers or maybe some sort of baking dish, and it's going to have cheese or something crusted on it. It's better to throw it away. Takeout containers are similar, that they might be dirty. Paper takeout containers specifically are not recyclable. If you do have plastic ones, if they're a clear or white plastic, make sure you rinse them and then you can throw them in the bin. If they're black, unfortunately, they're likely to not get captured just because of their dark pigment. Our computers that are reading the material at the recycling center just can't pick it up because all the material is actually traveling on a similarly colored belt.
Okay, now what happens if we do accidentally put non-recyclable plastics or metals in the recycle bin?
It can jam the process, for one. Those flexible plastics, they have a tendency to wrap and tangle around the sorting equipment. That creates a number of challenges, whether it's just simply jamming the machinery or making the machine inefficient to separate other recyclables. But also, if you throw things in that are soiled, you know, they can contaminate the good recyclables, right? We talked about paper and cardboard getting soiled. We'll have to throw it away. So it depends on what you throw in there. Other things that, you know, are potentially dangerous include batteries. We're seeing more and more frequently people are throwing in lithium battery powered devices, you know, whether it's a cell phone, a tablet, kids' toys, or power tools. By no means should any lithium battery ever be placed in your recycling bin or your trash can. Those have to go back to a retailer or designated electronics recycler.
Okay. And glass bottles and jars, but not broken window panes, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Awesome. So where can our listeners go if they want to learn more about recycling in general, or they want to find out more about this new polymer center here in Las Vegas?
Yeah. So for recycling information, they can check out recyclingsimplified.com. There's a lot of great resources on there, videos, tips, tricks, activities for the kids. And for all the wonderful teachers out there in CCSD, they can download free curriculum, which is great to teach the students about. And then if you just Google Republic Services Polymer Center, you can learn all about that new facility.
Nice. Okay. So recyclingsimplified.com is a great website to go to for educational material around recycling, recyclingsimplified.com, and then republicservices.com if you want to find out more about Republic Services, including the Polymer Center. And Jeremy, I want to thank you so much for being here, letting us know more about recycling and especially this revolutionary new recycling center that we have right here in Las Vegas. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The 20th annual Movember movement is happening through the month of November as men around the world grow mustaches to help change the face of men's health. This movement helps raise awareness and funds for prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention. You can create your own webpage to raise awareness and funds or find out more info at Movember.com. That's November with an M as in Mary, Movember.com. Three Square's 14th Annual Holiday Match Campaign is happening through December 31st. This campaign is designed to double your impact in our community throughout the holiday season as all donations are matched thanks to the generosity of Nevada Gold Mines, operated by Barrick, Boyd Gaming Corporation, and Intermountain Healthcare. So now, every dollar donated can provide up to 6 meals for hungry residents in Southern Nevada. Donate, volunteer, or find out more at threesquare.org. That's threesquare.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, November 20th at 8 p.m. benefiting Opera Las Vegas. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. And Touro University Nevada and the Nevada Homeless Alliance are partnering for the annual Project Homeless Connect event to serve the Las Vegas Valley's homeless and low-income population on Tuesday, November 21st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Cambridge Recreation Center, 3930 Cambridge Street near Boulevard Mall. Physical donations can be dropped off on Monday, November 20th from 2 to 5 p.m., and you can also donate online, sign up to volunteer, or get all the details at NevadaHomelessAlliance.org. That's NevadaHomelessAlliance.org, and look for Project Homeless Connect.